You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Winter Olympics have just kicked off in Milan, with thousands of athletes set to showcase their skills on an international stage, many of whom are women. Here in the United States, women's sports are going through a massive boom, from basketball, both in college and the WNBA, to the National Women's Soccer League and other sports in between. But when it comes to providing the right care for these athletes, whether it's rehabbing an injury or supporting them through different stages of their lives, there are a lot of unknowns when compared to men. But a new program launched by UC Berkeley last year aims to close that knowledge gap. It's called the Women's Health and Performance Initiative, and it seeks to gather more information that can lead to better health for female athletes both on and off the field. Janet Napolitano was the Homeland Security Secretary under President Obama and is the founder of the UC Berkeley Institute for Security and Governance, which is leading this new project, and she joins us now. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
So where did the idea for this project come from? What was the initial spark?
Well, there were many, but one in particular was we saw the explosion in women's sports, particularly with the WNBA, the Valkyries in San Francisco and so forth. And some folks came to us and said, you know, there is an amazing lack of data about women's health, particularly for women athletes. And that data would be very useful in developing and improving treatments, all kinds of ways to better equip women in sports, better ways to train, et cetera, et cetera. And so we looked at that. And then from the security angle, we know that women who are in the who are first responders, who are in the security agencies, the FBI, the Secret Service, the CIA, and the like, there's almost a one-to-one correlation between them and having been women athletes at some earlier point in their life. So we think that what we can develop with the data we're collecting here, it will be transferable into the security world as well.
I mean, of course, there's been a lot more attention on women's sports in recent years. But when did you personally become aware of this issue and this knowledge gap? Because there have been female athletes for generations now, and I'm sure they can relate to a lot of what they're hearing.
You know, basically just through some conversations and hearing. And I'm at UC Berkeley, and Berkeley is a place that is always willing to innovate and to apply its brains, its expertise, particularly where there are knowledge gaps. And there's a tremendous knowledge gap in terms of the performance metrics for women athletes.
When this initiative was in its initial stages and maybe the brainstorming phase, what kind of feedback and interest did you get that helps shape what the project is today?
Well, we reached out first to Cal Athletics, and they were all over it. They said, we really need this. This would be great. And so they're going to be one of the first suppliers of data for the initiative. We've been working with the National Women's Soccer League. We've reached out to a number of other universities and institutes across the country for the data that we will need to actually do the work the initiative is designed to do.
Help us visualize the kind of data that you're looking for.
All kinds of data, mostly health related. But for example, when you think about it, men athletes, you know, if they tear an ACL, it's not a career ending injury anymore. It's treated. They're back on the field, et cetera. Women who tear an ACL, first of all, the frequency of that is underreported, but the treatment would be different. Why? Because women's anatomy is different. Or take women's running shoes. Women's running shoes now are basically men's running shoes in smaller sizes, but women's feet are different. And so what we hope to discover through this initiative are ways to better improve treatments, therapies, and equipment for women athletes. And as I mentioned earlier, for those who go on into the security-related fields.
And you mentioned that Cal Athletics is a partner in this. How will that data be collected if you're an athlete?
Well, a lot of it, we hope, will come from wearables, but also that Cal Athletics already has a tremendous amount of information about women athletes who've been participants. And so we'll get their voluntary consent and collect all that data as well.
Got it. And this new initiative is aimed at improving women's health and athletic performance. Of course, there is a security component as well. Is that why it's under UC Berkeley's Institute of Security and Governance? Because you wouldn't necessarily reflexively think of women's sports with that title.
Yeah, perhaps. Or maybe it's because we conceived of the initiative here at the Institute. Who knows? But regardless of where it's physically located, this is an effort that Berkeley campus-wide is participating in. So we have collaborations with the School of Public Health. I already mentioned Cal Athletics, et cetera. The School of Data Science, the College of Data Science and Engineering, all helping us make sure that the data we collect is put into the best technology available now. So new algorithms are developed, new patterns are discovered, and the like.
It's really interesting when you mention that there's almost a one-to-one correlation between women athletes and those who are first responders or national security. How did you come to that realization that there is such a parallel between the two?
Well, part of it is my own experience. I mean, I was the Secretary of Homeland Security. I worked extensively with women Secret Service agents, with women who were first responders through FEMA, et cetera. And so I just knew it. And the people I work with at DHS knew it, too. So and now at the Institute, we work collectively with the FBI, with the CIA and so forth. And so just based on our personal experience, we have this knowledge.
How long will this initiative last?
That is impossible to say. We kicked it off in early December, so we're still at our early stages. But I would hope that it would actually be a continuing effort, because the more data we have, the better research we can do, the better treatments and therapies and so forth that can be developed.
When do you think you might receive your first batch of data that researchers and people can actually work with?
Hopefully within the next few months.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. And is there the potential for this initiative to span other schools, other universities?
Oh, that's clearly our intent. Yes. And we've already had contacts with a number of other universities around the country who want to supply their data, too, for the benefit of their own women athletes.
Janet Napolitano is the former Homeland Security Secretary and founder of UC Berkeley's Institute for Security and Governance. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about the new Women's Health and Performance Initiative at UC Berkeley, which aims to collect more data to close gaps in women's health and athletic performance. Now I want to bring in Dr. Cassandra Lee. She is the Chief of Orthopedic Sports Medicine at UC Davis Health. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
So how did you become the Chief of Orthopedic Sports Medicine? Did it start with you playing sports growing up? Were you an athlete?
I was an athlete, and I still think of myself as an athlete. So I think that's what attracted me to sports medicine. And coming to UC Davis over time, I've worked with great mentors and great clinicians. And we do take care of a lot of the college teams here in town and even the pro teams in town. So it was a natural gravitation to work in sports medicine.
So given that you work in sports medicine, you also are an athlete, what would you like people to better understand about the injuries, the care, and the treatment that women could receive, maybe don't receive currently, that you're hoping to change?
I think just like Janet Napolitano told us, is that there are huge treatment gaps. We actually really don't know a lot. There's very little actually published about women athletes in terms of any specific injuries that are specific to females or any what is that optimal recovery. We know that women, when they do have sport injuries, they probably do require multidisciplinary care. Because if you think about it, there's hormones involved, there's psychology, there's also not just the physical, but there's also the other aspects of it. So I think this something like this is so exciting, because we can now actually maybe try to get through a lot of the noise that we have and just, you know, anecdotal evidence and actually really get to the root of it and really treat our female athletes.
As a doctor, I mean, you're trying to find the right treatment plan, the right care for each patient. What kind of challenges have you run up against when it comes to a lack of data on women's health or injuries?
I think a big example would be, what do I do with my pregnant athlete? I don't know. there literally is no data out there. There is one of the biggest treatment knowledge gaps right there. We don't know, you know, as an orthopedic surgeon, I can tell you what's going on from an injury standpoint, but from the maternal fetal medicine part of it, I don't know the physiology and what's safe for an athlete to go back to play. Like, when do things snap back into place? When can you take a load? When can you load your core? When can you jump? We don't know that information, right? Just as the OB-GYN doctors don't really fully know from the musculoskeletal standpoint, like, what part recovers, when is it safe to load the joint? So there's a huge gap there. And we don't really know how to tell our athletes, or especially our pregnant athletes, when is it safe to return to play, let alone, like, that's a normal situation, right? We don't, let alone what happens if there's an injury. We just don't know.
Right. I mean, and I would think, like, I know the postpartum journey is so different from one woman to a next versus, like, one athlete to a next. So how do you advise a female athlete, like, when it's okay to go back to the sport that they're playing? I mean, that's a really hard, or maybe it's an impossible question to answer at this point.
That is an impossible question to answer. And actually, that has been a research interest of mine. We've been trying to get funding for this. And that's always the difficult part of trying to do research, is getting funding. And I think this is where something like having this AI initiative really can make a difference, right? Outside of Michelle King dropping in $50 million from the, you know, sports leagues, we don't have that kind of money to look into this and really investigate. So I think this is the power of where this AI can really hone in, get information that we can have that's in the literature that's published currently, but then also we can tease out the noise, try to get to the point where we can ask the right questions, the specific questions, so that we can actually get to the root of the matter, right? So for postpartum recovery, you already mentioned it. It is individual for each of our patients, let alone our athletes, right? So why can't I return to play? Well, can I quantify or really describe, like, well, does your pelvic floor feel right? Or how do I ask that question? Like, is it because you're not mentally ready to go back on the field? Or is it because you don't feel right when you're trying to jump and something doesn't quite stay where it's supposed to stay? Right? We haven't teased that out, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is where that multidisciplinary approach is so critical.
And things change so much throughout a woman's life, especially in terms of hormones. I mean, if they're older athletes going through perimenopause or menopause, is there any kind of data or research of how to, I don't know, treat them and care for them during those life stages?
Vicky, I think you're hitting the nail on the head right here. It is, we really don't know. I think just as women's sports that you mentioned are having a moment, I think the idea of talking about, having these awkward conversations about menopause, about pregnancy, are finally happening. But we don't, this is a giant knowledge gap. We haven't asked these and broached these questions before to really understand, how does a female athlete go and approach their menopause years, right? If you think about it, Tylenol 9 has only been around for about 50 years. So we have, this is when women were actually allowed to do athletics, right? So I think now we're finally in that generation that women are really pushing the limits and trying to show what we can do. We know that women do have maybe better resistance to endurance training. So, like, endurance athletes may be better for women. So does that apply in the menopausal age? But we know with the hormonal differences in milieus, even within the cycles of normal adulthood, that's different than the cycles that change into menopause. So how does that work on our bone density? How does that work on our muscle mass? How does that work on our fast twitch, slow twitch muscles? All these questions. I have questions. I don't have answers.
When you talk to patients that are athletes and women, I mean, is it a frustrating journey for them when they're trying to get the right answer?
I think it is. I mean, I myself, again, as an aging athlete, right? It is frustrating. Things are starting to hurt more. My flexibility is changing. My strength is certainly changing. Like, and I'm sure that this is what my athletes feel. And how do we go about this? Well, okay, we can go with our generalized recommendations for cardiovascular fitness of 150 minutes a week. We can go with, oh yeah, you can do heavy strength training, heavy weight training. What does that mean for you? Who's, you know, versus for me, you know, someone who's 5'5" versus my, you know, former basketball athlete who could dunk at 6'3". What does heavy weight training mean? So all these need to be teased out and really truly individualized. And I think this is what makes this initiative so exciting, is that I finally see a pathway to get through a lot of the noise that we have so that we can hone in on the details that are important. And then we can also design our further future research to really get to answer these questions. Mm.
And as this data starts rolling out, we might get like the first batch of results, as Janet Napolitano said, you know, maybe in the coming months. How do you want people to start having these conversations or to continue having these conversations about women's health and well-being?
I mean, I think situations like this where we just keep on talking about this, right? This is no longer something scary and taboo to talk about. You know, women, athletes are on the national stage. We're getting excited about watching the performance. We're getting excited about what's going on in the Olympics. Like, so this needs to be part of the conversation, right? Women athletes are here to stay, and we need to treat them as such. And we need to really treat to optimize it and see where performance can really go. I think that's what's the exciting part about not only elite athletes, but even the everyday athlete, right? So what we're doing every day, how do we translate that into our longevity cycles, right? Longevity is a big, exciting word now, right? Because it's not just about aging gracefully, but it's actually thriving as we age. So how do all of us stay active for longer and really, you know, get the most out of everything?
Yeah. Dr. Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Cassandra Lee is the Chief of Orthopedic Sports Medicine at UC Davis Health, and we've been talking about a new program at UC Berkeley called the Women's Health and Performance Initiative, which aims to close the knowledge gap around treating injuries and providing care to female athletes. Still ahead, celebrating the rich diversity of classical talent here in the Sacramento Valley, Cap Radio Classical Midday host Jennifer Reason joins us to spotlight some of the artists she's featured on her show. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.